Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
1 hour down, hour number two, now in full effect, right here on the early line, Sirius XM channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Sonny Wrightside here at Stubbs Anderson. A great hour number one, and again, the topics are endless here. This is what we do. We get you caught up on everything you need to know, and then also take a look at those games tonight here, Dubsy. Loved hour number one, and whenever I see the next segment deals with NFL topics, I'm always in.
Happy hump day. We're getting set for week three in the National Football League. No shortage here for your Wednesday afternoon slate. So, Donnie, I'm just warming up. You know, I've already had that cold brew. Yeah. I'm a commercial time out there, so I'm fully charged. Apologies in advance. Let's get after it.
I mean, the energy is going to be high here because why? The energy in the NFC South has been incredible to start the season. Let's take a look at some of these teams and assess where they are after two games. Now, we're going to start with the New Orleans Saints, who for me, understand this, Dubsy. Last year, I was high on the Saints. Took a bet at the FanDuel Sportsbook here for them to win 10 games at a nice plus money number. They didn't do that. I thought the New Orleans Saints would be able to win the division. They didn't do that. So I said, all right, Derek Carr wasn't good last year. Maybe it's an aging defense at this point. Alvin Kamara is another year older. I don't know if I can trust this team. I didn't look at them that heavily in the offseason. Now we take a look at their 2-0 record and the 2-0 performances. Maybe as good as it gets across the board in the NFL. Smoke the Panthers 47-10. Now, granted, maybe a lot of teams are going to beat the Panthers by a lot of points, but 37 on opening day, absolutely incredible. So then we say, Dubs, okay, you're going to go on the road and play the Dallas Cowboys, who took down the Cleveland Browns and are typically a team that plays so well at home. They not only win football games, they're usually by double digits. Final score, 44-19. Not Cowboys. The Saints went in there and destroyed it, which included Dubsy. 35 points scored in the first half alone. Talk to me about the Saints, because I'm shocked. Are they this good? Maybe so.
Donnie, they're absolutely soaring. And you know on Sundays when there's a lot of games going on, you're refreshing the old box scores. I was refreshing this one going, no. This can't be right. This is against the Cowboys in Dallas. This just doesn't happen for the Saints. Now what, 91 points combined through the first couple of weeks. I thought Derek Carr was done. I thought he was all over. He was just, you know, filling a gap for the short term. Over 440 passing yards, 5 touchdowns. This offense looks absolutely electric. You highlighted in week one, they're going against the Carolina Panthers. I didn't take a lot away from that game because the Panthers, they're bad. But the Dallas Cowboys, they're going to be one of the best teams in the NFL once it's all said and done going through the regular season. The Saints made a mockery of them. They made them look like they were going against junior varsity. Now, even Kamara, he turned the clock back there as well. So suddenly having a couple of deep threats. I mean, Shahid looks to be an absolute revelation here for the Saints. He looked fantastic. We've got the deep ball going. Derek Carr looks like he's playing with house money. And maybe this is all, you know, star quarterback needed. Just a better environment for him to really shine and get to take advantage of his full skill set. So good to see Alvin Kamara back to career best form. Great to see a couple of these young faces getting it going there for Derek Carr and the Saints. And I tell you what, week three going against your Eagles, maybe they go 3-0. But this is certainly, Donnie, for me, the biggest surprise through the first couple of weeks in the NFL. I thought the Saints would be one of the easy beats. They're not. I thought the offense would struggle to get going. They don't.
Like, let's just say the first two games, Dubs, they are 2-0. They beat the Panthers 17-10. They edge the Cowboys 20-19. Like, okay, 2-0, you'll take that move forward. But the way they've been so dominant, it's basically they score on every single possession and then shut your offense down. We'll see if that continues. And also keep in mind, as you pointed out, they play the Philadelphia Eagles at home in the Dome this week. The Eagles banged up and embarrassed on their Monday night performance here, already working off of a short week. The Eagles were favored from the look-ahead line. Now we're seeing across the board the Falcons in some spots here, three-point favorites here and looking to go 3-0. Let's keep it moving here with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers also in the NFC South. They have been tremendous to start their season and also pulled off the upset last week against the Detroit Lions. And in week number one, blew the Commanders off the field. Equally impressive here. It looks like we have two lead dogs in the NFC South, but also, Dubsy, maybe two of the best teams in the NFC here with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And full credit to Baker Mayfield. You know, star quarterback has been absolutely fantastic. He has been the key for the success behind the Bucs. You take a look at the numbers that he's put up through the first couple of weeks. You could make the argument maybe the best quarterback performance that we've seen this at this point in the season there. So, look, they played with a bit of grit, overcoming adversity. The Detroit Lions, they're always going to be a tough out, especially over there in Detroit. But the defense stood tall on this one, just allowing 16 points. So for the Bucs, Baker Mayfield, he's looking like he's a new man. You know, from where he was a couple of years ago, Donny, he's looking fit, he's looking sharp, he's so confident with his wide receivers, he's got plenty of weapons to work with. So for the Bucs being 2-0, they've got another tough spot here, but they will be at home this weekend going against the Denver Broncos. But the Bucs certainly a shining light. I had a lot of expectation for the Detroit Lions and for them to grit one out. It was a tough character-building performance, enough to get the score there last week.
Yeah, back-to-back home games coming up for them against the Broncos and the Philadelphia Eagles. And we don't even know if A.J. Brown's going to be back by that September 29th game, which they are going to play at home. But this is another team where I said to myself, with the Atlanta Falcons, I thought coming into the season, the Falcons would be the best team in that division. I thought Kirk Cousins would be tremendous. Now, granted, the Falcons were staring down the barrel of being 0-2, which would have been devastating here in the prices here for the NFC South to win it. I'm not that as high as I am even with that victory on the Falcons as I possibly would be now for the Saints and the Buccaneers because of the way they played. You also take a look at that bend but don't break defense for Todd Bowles. 7 red zone possessions for the Detroit Lions, one of the best offenses and offensive lines in football. They only scored 1 touchdown out of those 7 possessions. That's how you win football games. And also, I did lose my best bet over the weekend, Dubsy. It was Baker Mayfield over 1.5 touchdown passes. And if you say from Baker Mayfield's perspective, if he accounted for 2 touchdowns, like, of course he threw 2 touchdowns, he's not going to run it in. He had back-to-back runs, which include, I think, totaled over 30 yards on, like, basically quarterback draws to score a touchdown. Couldn't believe it, but credit him. Do whatever it takes to win. And then the Broncos come to town. Not a great offense. Should be able to win that game. The Eagles and then the Falcons and then the Saints after that. They could sort of take over here, the price points here of the NFC South. And you saw the graphic that popped up with those NFC South contenders. And as it stands now, the Saints, a plus 145 number. The Buccaneers right behind them at a plus 195. The Falcons at a 2-1 price. And the Carolina Panthers, not 75-1 to win the Super Bowl, 75-1 after 2 weeks to win their own division. That's how bad they've been. It looks like it's going to be a 3-team race in the NFC South.
You tell me the Red Rifle can't turn things around there for Carolina and the Panthers. True. And look, Donnie, no surprises from the Panthers. We knew they were going to be the easy beats of the regular season. I guess the standout for me and the buy low spot here could be with the Falcons. They grit one out there for Monday Night Football. Kirk Cousins off that Achilles, now 36 years of age. I expect that offense to build a bit of momentum as we start working on that chemistry going forward. So the Falcons at plus 200, that's the number that stands out to me. You've now lost all value on the Saints as the shortest price at plus 145 and the Bucs, there or thereabouts at plus 195. If you're big on the Falcons to try and fly high and only improve from here, maybe that's the spot to buy in. But for me, Donny, I took a slice on the Falcons preseason. I thought they were going to be all that in a bag of chips. And now that they're sitting 1-1, they've probably underwhelmed so far, but they've certainly got the offensive weapons to try and build something special.
Yeah, the Falcons are going to take on, I believe it's Sunday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. That'll be an interesting matchup. But also, we are writing the obituary late fourth quarter for the Atlanta Falcons after two games, as their winnings percentage during that game, Dubsy Live, was under 1% after the Eagles picked up a third down conversion late in that fourth quarter. They stole that victory, saved their season. Let's see if they can get back against the Kansas City Chiefs, who had two close ball games to start the season already. But again, it just gets back to the Saints. They've been so dominant. Like, what happens if the Saints, Dubsy, come out this weekend and drop another 40 spot on their opponent, which would be my Philadelphia Eagles, who are reeling after that Monday night loss? A.J. Brown is not there. The offense hasn't looked as good. And maybe the Saints looking like the best overall team in the NFL. Something to ponder here. But the one joke that continues to write itself, it is those Carolina Panthers at 75-1 that go, you know what? Let's go to an aging veteran here as opposed to the number one overall pick short of two calendar years previous in Bryce Young. A lot to be determined in Carolina. And the only thing we're looking at is, will they get the top seed, the second seed, or the third seed, or hopefully win three games here? 75-1 to win your division after two games? That's embarrassing. Let's keep it moving here. NFC up. We'll have some assessments next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The hot topics never stop on the early line. Sirius XM Channel 159 Radio on the Sports Grid Network. It's Dubsy, it's Donnie. It's a Wednesday morning. We're going to continue with our assessments here in the NFC, which includes the Minnesota Vikings. Dubsy, let's go over the offseason, right? Justin Jefferson gets that monster contract. You're looking to start J.J. McCarthy after drafting him in the first round, 10th overall. McCarthy gets injured. People get upset with that, and rightfully so. They wanted to see him play. It's Sam Darnold, who hasn't had a great NFL career by any stretches. What are we going to expect here? In week number one, I think a lot of people expected them to beat the Giants because, quite frankly, a lot of people are going to beat the New York Giants. They win 28-6 convincingly on the road. And then we said, oh, yeah? Well, the 49ers are coming to town week number two, fresh off their blasting the New York Jets on opening night in prime time. How would they do? Well, they didn't do that well. Why? Because Minnesota won again 23-17. So if we're looking at the Minnesota Vikings now 2-0 on the season, you take a look at their points scored 51, points given up 23. Their preseason win total was 7.5. They got two more wins now. Now it sits at 9.5. So I want to ask you this question, Dubsy. Are we believers in the Minnesota Vikings at 2-0?
I'm a believer in Sam Darnold. So, yes, I'm a believer in the Vikings. This could be the value play going into week three. And look, they've been tremendous. You know, they've been doing it in a pretty tough style as well. They're taking on the 49ers. Never an easy thing to do. But there's a bit of extra juice there for Sam Darnold going against his old ball club. And maybe you can look back at the last couple of years and say, for Sam Darnold, what has he really been working with? Has he been set up for success? You can make the comparison. It's sort of where, you know, Bryce Young sits right now. But for Sam Darnold, he was probably the only person sitting back in the offseason going, this is my time. I finally got some of the weapons I've been waiting for. I'm going to get this chance to be the starting quarterback for the Vikings. You get to work with one of the best wide receivers in the game in Justin Jefferson. We saw them connect on that deep pass early in that one last week in week two. So, look, he's showing leadership. He's showing maturity. He's showing poise. For Sam Darnold and the Vikings, they got to love what they've seen out the gates here. And they're still waiting on a couple of weapons there as well. Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, if they can get back in the mix at full health. Watch out for Minnesota moving forward. They are going to be a very tough team to try and go through, starting here with week three for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, they do have a couple of tough games coming up, but also maybe a little bit of help there when they play the Green Bay Packers, which the Packers probably aren't expected to have Jordan Love back just yet. They might be one of those teams that can hit that hot start to start the season. So you know what? Now we're gaining confidence moving through it. And also, Sam Darnold in a pretty good offense here. Kevin O'Connell is one of the best play callers in the NFL, and that's showing early on a massive victory against the 49ers, who are favorites to win the NFC. They showed him who was the boss in that game. I don't know if it's fool's gold just yet for the Vikings, but I'm impressed with what I've seen here. And maybe if I thought they couldn't make the playoffs to start the season, they're certainly right back in it. But as we said, Dubsy, tough stretch of games coming up here. Let's head out to the Pacific Northwest. And still, we're looking at 2-0 football teams, and that includes the Seattle Seahawks. 2-0 through the first two games here. Points scored 49, points given up 40, which means they've been in tough games here. Their preseason win total, Dubsy, 7.5, now also sits at 9.5 like the Minnesota Vikings. If you look at their first two games here, the Denver Broncos, 26-20, nice victory for them. It was a win. Bo Nix, in that first game struggled a little bit, but the credit to the defense for holding them down. Week number two against the Patriots, go on the road and pick up a victory, 23-20. Now, you're not playing the best teams in the NFL when we talk about the Broncos and the Patriots. We understand that, but they still got two victories. Now they take on the Miami Dolphins, which we would have thought would have been an AFC contender. Now without Tua Tagovailoa, they could be able to win this game and move to 3-0. So are you liking so far, Dubsy, what you're seeing out of the Seattle Seahawks?
I'm liking a bit, Donnie, but not enough to jump on that win total and send it overs. This is probably one where I see the odds makers adjusting a little too quickly, and I'm now thinking, well, maybe towards the unders. They're going to get the Dolphins in a good spot. Geno's look pretty strong, but again, same thing we've seen in the last couple of years. They struggle to stop the run and get that dominance going up front there. So for the Seattle Seahawks, I think this one could be a little fraudulent at 2-0. Not to say it's going to be a referendum spot coming in for week three, but I'd want to see a little more before backing there with confidence. But again, Donnie, a similar theme for a lot of these teams who didn't have great expectations coming in for a new year. You start putting a couple of wins together, suddenly things in the locker room are feeling a lot better. You're playing with a bit more confidence and you're moving in the right direction. So this is a good spot for Seattle coming up against the Miami Dolphins with no Tua, but I'd want to see a little more before I'd really buy in to even possibly thinking overs on that win total at 9.5.
Yeah, got to get Kenneth Walker back healthy into that lineup. Certainly a dynamic running back that they missed last week. I think Charbonneau did score a touchdown in that game, but again, not a lot of yardage overall. And if we are looking down the line here, they play the Miami Dolphins this weekend at home. The 12s will be loud and proud in that game. So let's just say they move to 3-0 here. Then you go on the road and take on the Lions. That's probably going to be a loss. Then you have the Giants at home. This could be a runway for a great start for a new coach here, Dubsy, out there in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, and I feel like this was the team that we were sleeping on going through the preseason. Yep. No one was really talking about the Seattle Seahawks. I guess that was one of the biggest changes, one of the biggest changes you can make there with a new head coach taking over from Pistol Pete Carroll. So things are looking good up there in Seattle. We saw it in week one going against the Broncos. We saw it in week two going against the Patriots, but we really can't take too much away from both of those. But if you get them up there in Seattle, Lumen Field, always a very tough place, tough environment to try and play in. Seattle Seahawks, a very good chance of still being undefeated through the first 3 weeks of the regular season. Probably didn't see that coming, but now looking back, Donnie, a lot of it makes sense. But again, not getting too carried away from this record just yet.
Who would have thought that if you're taking a look at some of those undefeated teams in the NFC and leading their divisions, it would be the Minnesota Vikings there in the NFC North over the likes of the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. Then you take a look at the NFC South, and it's two 2-0 teams with the Saints and the Buccaneers. But then the West, you have the 2-0 Seattle Seahawks, the 1-1 Cardinals, the 1-1 49ers, and the 0-2 Los Angeles Rams. So if you can get a hot start and steal as many games as you can, there's a lot of injury concerns for the San Francisco 49ers, right? You're looking at the running back position with Christian McCaffrey down for at least a couple more weeks. How healthy can he be even when he comes back? Deebo Samuel down for a couple weeks now with an injury there. This could be a chance where you could build some momentum and maybe get up 2-3 games on the 49ers if you continue to play great football, and that certainly can help you win down the stretch. So I love taking a look over the first couple weeks because we always are going to overreact with things that we didn't think would happen, as we talked about the Saints and maybe the Minnesota Vikings both being 2-0 at this stage this year. We're now going to flip it over here and take a look at some of those AFC teams and assess those teams as well, because some teams are 0-2 we didn't think they would be. Some teams are hot at 2-0. It's the way we do it here on the Early Line. Make sure you stay tuned. More NFL talk is on the way.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talking NFL here on the Early Line on this glorious Wednesday morning as we set up the card for this weekend's Week 3 action, which does begin tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football. But before we get there, let's continue with some assessments here, Dubsy, in the AFC. And maybe one of the more surprising teams also that we see at 2-0, the Los Angeles Chargers, fresh off of beating the Raiders, and the Panthers here. Are they great teams? Not necessarily, but they are 2-0. 48 points scored, only 13 given up. Their preseason total of 8.5 has now increased to 9.5. Thought processes on both of those wins, we probably would think they would be 2-0, but I love the way they're playing football. And should it be, you know, expected? Absolutely. It's Jim Harbaugh. We're going to run the football. We are going to be physical. They pounded the Raiders. They annihilated the Panthers on the road. And J.K. Dobbins looks like he is as healthy as he was before the injuries in Baltimore and looks sensational. Love what I see of the Chargers, but this is a Jim Harbaugh team. They put their hand in the ground and they play physical football.
And Donnie, for all of us, bettors from the outside looking in at the Chargers, we'll buy into the long game for Jim Harbaugh to turn it around for the Chargers. I tell you what, Jim wasn't. He was playing the short game. He's absolutely turned up and got him going, moving in the right direction. You look at some of the improvements that we've seen from last season. They're ninth in the league in points per play. You take a look at the points allowed, fewest in the NFL. You take a look at the yards allowed, second best in terms of what we have seen going through the first couple of weeks. So massive strides out the gates here from Harbaugh and the Chargers. Things you love to see, because I tell you what, some key personnel changes, and you thought it may take a bit of time to move things back in the right direction. They allow 10 points in the first week, 3 going against the Panthers there in week 2. So for the Chargers to be 2-0, I didn't see them having such success out the gates this early in the season. But I tell you what, absolutely buying in. Jim Harbaugh, he just knows how to get that winning mentality, gets the locker room buying in, and a couple of key improvements. So no surprises here from the Chargers. They're going to be a very tough out going through the rest of the year.
Like, typically, if you would have told me, Dubs, hey, how's Justin Herbert doing? And I'd say, well, through the first two games, he's averaging 137 passing yards per game. You probably think they were 0-2, and maybe they have a quarterback controversy on their hands. Not the case. They just play football differently here and are maximizing their talent. Because Justin Herbert, not an unbelievable passer rating, but it's at 96 at this point, which is doable. Don't turn the football over. Don't take a lot of sacks here. Hand the football off. You're going to win football games in the NFL. You take a look at the rushing department here. 27 carries for Dobbins through two games. Gus Edwards has 29 carries through two games. But look at Dobbins. 27 carries, 266 yards. That's an average of almost 10 yards per carry with 2 touchdowns. Absolutely phenomenal here. You're taking him now off of the scrap heap where he was injured with Baltimore. It looks like he's that back that Baltimore hoped he would be. Gus Edwards also from Baltimore, as they relocate to the West Coast. Sort of that hammer here, but the 2 touchdowns on the ground, certainly fantastic for Dobbins here. The wide receiver position, it looked like Quentin Johnson was a busted draft pick here, and now you see he's got 11 catches through the 2 games and 2 touchdowns scored. I like everything I'm seeing from the Chargers' perspective. The only question is, can this style win in the NFL? I think it can. And also, they're taking on the Steelers this weekend. Steel versus steel, going toe-to-toe, Dubsy.
Bend, but do not break. Yeah, they're not going to win your high-scoring track meets, if you will, but getting towards the back end of the regular season, this style matches up really well. We've seen it work at the college level. Jim Harbaugh is bringing that, that grit, that DNA to the Chargers and the way they're playing things. So, look, it's going to be a rock fight going against Pittsburgh. They then take on the Chiefs back out here on the West Coast, followed by the Broncos, the Cardinals, and the Saints. So they've got a really good shot of picking up 2 wins, maybe 3 in the next 3 games, and suddenly we're looking at the Chargers as being one of the key contenders. And we just turned it back a couple of weeks that, you know, Justin Herbert had that that plantar fasciitis, so he's really not having to put his body through the limits right now. They're playing smart. They're playing efficient football. And we highlighted a couple of the key metrics on how good the defense is doing, but you've got to highlight the improvement. You know, 24th, 28th, respectively, in points allowed, yards allowed, now to be sitting as one of the best there in the NFL. Very, very commendable from what Jim Harbaugh has done in such little time to turn it around here for the Chargers.
Exactly. It was always the issue with the Chargers was, okay, their special teams kicker is bad. You just take that for granted at this point. But the coaches always not being great on game day. Now it looks like that's a massive improvement. And the Chargers blowing leads late in football games, which now you have a tougher head coach here. They look like more one of the more physical football teams able to close out some of those games. Quickly here on this too, 2-0 teams across the NFL at the FanDuel Sportsbook here. The Kansas City Chiefs, Houston Texans, and Buffalo Bills lead the charge to be the last undefeated team in the NFL, plus 200, plus 450, and plus 650 prices. We'll see who actually can take that down. Now, we talked a lot about good football teams in great starts. But some of those teams are saying, what is going on with these 0-2 football teams? We'll talk about those teams next right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Dubsy, we've been talking about some pretty good football teams with surprising starts on the 2-0 level. Now we're going to take the opposite direction at some teams that are sitting at 0-2, maybe most people thought, could challenge for the playoffs, could challenge for a division, maybe even challenge for a Super Bowl spot. Let's head down to Jacksonville, Florida. I can't believe what I'm seeing at this point. Now, granted, did they play two good teams based on the preseason numbers? Yes, they did. The Dolphins and the Browns. But they currently sit 0-2. 30 points scored, 38 given up. Their team total, which is 8.5, which we thought they'd be able to challenge for the AFC South, that has now dropped to 6.5. Because they're going to take on the next couple weeks, Dubsy, the Bills, the Texans, Colts, and the Bears. That's next on the schedule. Never looks good. But let's get to the bottom of this. When I watched that Dolphins game on replay, they lose 20-17. Tyreek Hill had a nice performance. Jalen Waddle had a good performance. Tua Tagovailoa as well. But they fumbled on the goal line, which would have put that football game away, which caused them to have a loss. Then you get the reeling Cleveland Browns at home, and you lose 18-13. Doug Peterson, he's got to answer a lot of questions for me here, Dubsy.
And Donnie, you know, usually a bad hangover, maybe it lasts a day. It's rare that you go to day two, day three, but we're seeing the hangover to a dismal finish at the back end of last season. Like, what is going on with this offense for Trevor Lawrence in the Jags? I mean, he's picked up a couple of great weapons. I know Evan Ingram didn't get the start there, the big tight end, over the weekend, but there's no shortage. I mean, you've got Kirk, you've got Davis, you've got Brian Thomas Jr. And for Trevor Lawrence, this is not good enough for the offense. We flashed up that graphic of how many points they've scored through the first two. There's been flashes of a bit of brilliance. I mean, they were leading that game in week one, 14-0, but this is not good enough for a team that I was very high on coming into this season. And you look at the win total, it was 8.5 to start with, and now sits at 6.5, and nothing gets easier for Monday Night Football going against an undefeated Buffalo Bills. So for the Jags, I don't know what's going to turn things around, Donnie, but they just look so out of step, and it's really, truly one of the biggest surprises here coming into week three for me.
Yeah, Travis Etienne, the running back they drafted in the first round, just not being as explosive as you wanted. You saw Calvin Ridley leave in free agency, replace him with a rookie who is doing a decent job. But it is, like, if you would have told me for the first 2 weeks here, they're 0-2, but Trevor Lawrence hasn't turned the football over with an interception, you probably figured they're at least 1-1 at this point. Two really disappointing efforts here, but also, as I said, you're looking forward because it used to be in the past on the 16-game schedule. Teams that open up 0-2, they're almost dead and buried with no chance to either A, win the division, or B, make the playoffs. Now at the 17th game, you get a little bit more leeway here to come back, but you're on the road at the Buffalo Bills. Then you're on the road at the Texans here. You are staring down the barrel, Dubsy, of an 0-4 start, which then we start to question if the head coach should be there, the roster makeup. This team is way too talented to open up 0-4, but it looks like if we're looking from an odds perspective, they're not going to be favored against the Buffalo Bills, Dubs. They're not going to be favored against the Texans. Give me your thoughts here on Jacksonville. Can they get up off the mat, or is it sayonara already on the season?
I think they can get up off the map. And the weapons, the offense is going to be there. I just think they're searching for it right now. They're playing with little to no confidence at all. They've been beat up going through the first couple of weeks. They've got the tools. They've got the weapons in place. It could be this Monday night. Maybe they just wake up from the graves there. But you look at the points in the offense, the yards that they put up. Like, they're just not moving the ball downfield. So something has to change. We cannot keep showing up here with the same game plan. It is not working through the first couple of weeks, but I don't mind this win total. You know, this is a reaction for the odds makers of them going winless through the first two. It doesn't get easier going in against Buffalo on Monday Night Football, but at 6.5, this is a Jags team that's certainly built for, you know, the duration of a long, vigorous season. If they can figure things out, they could go on a bit of a run. Maybe it's not going to start this Monday. Maybe you hold off until next Tuesday, but I do think they're going to figure things out eventually. But hopefully it's not too late, Donnie, because as you highlighted, you're winless through three, you're winless through four, and suddenly you're looking towards next season.
a couple years ago. They win that playoff game in a massive comeback fashion. And then you're saying, all right, we're going to pay Trevor Lawrence, going to be our franchise guy. You stumbled last year down the stretch. And now you're finding out, seeing you're 0-2 and you got two tough games on the road coming up. Things aren't looking good for Doug Peterson and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's flip it over to the NFC. A disappointing team for some would be the Los Angeles Rams here. Crazy that the Rams are 0-2. The Chargers riding high in LA at 2-0. But you look at their record. It's deserved, Dubsy. This isn't luck. Oh, no, they just lost a couple, you know, like squeakers here. Forget about that. 0-2 on the season, and you're taking a look at 30 points scored and 67 points given up. 13 total sat at 8.5 preseason, now sits at 6.5, and quite frankly, I think that might be even a little bit high at this point, because they're going to play the 49ers next week, who are, you know, are already upset for losing a football game this past week at 1-1. Now, they are injured, but when we talk injuries, I don't think any team's more injured than the Los Angeles Rams at this point. Puka Nacua, superstar young wide receiver, down and injured. Looks like he won't be back till week 9 at the earliest. Cooper Kupp left last game in a walking boot. Now you're down your two best receiving options on an offensive line that is completely damaged, and they got smoked by the Cardinals last week, 41-10. They lost by 4-plus touchdowns. Now you have the Niners on deck. Let's just say they go to 0-3. It doesn't look good for the Rams at all here, Dubsy.
Nah, a little concerning, and arguably probably the biggest strike there with injury so early in the season. I mean, Puka Nacua, what a breakout performance he had last year. So he's going to be missed. You thought maybe if Cooper Kupp is healthy, he can be that guy for Matty Stafford. We saw that in week one going against Detroit. And I guess the big takeaway from week one was like, well, if the Rams can run with the Lions, they're going to be contenders there. But I think we saw a bit of a wake-up call in week two. They could not run. They were no match for the Arizona Cardinals. And this is sort of the lingering effect, you know, from no Aaron Donald. There was question marks. How's that pressure going to be looking going towards the other side of the ball? I think we saw it there on Sunday. That was a really tough spot for the Rams, and it only gets tougher going against a very motivated 49ers this week for week three. So for Sean McVay, one of the smartest minds in the game, he's going to have to scheme up something pretty special, but they just don't have that firepower. And we know the way that Matty Stafford plays. He's the ultimate chess player, picking apart the secondary. Well, suddenly he's lost two of his chief threats in trying to get him downfield. So I think it's going to be an uphill battle for the Rams. Health, fitness, injury concerns, it's a big part in trying to have a successful season in the NFL. And right now, being 0-2, it does not look like it's getting any better anytime soon.
No, it doesn't. And this is the year I thought they would have last year, Dubsy. I was saying, like, my prediction was the Rams would be sellers at the trade deadline last year and just give up on that football team. They played well, and they stayed healthy. This year, not the same thing. And also, Sean McVay, just a few short years ago, still a young coach in the NFL, was talking about retirement. This is the team that just might put him into retirement and into the booth here to call football games as opposed to coach football games. It's been a disaster early. It's not necessarily the play, because they held their own against Detroit, but you just can't lose superstar after superstar star and expect to compete in the NFL. And now the 49ers certainly come into town. We'll see how that one plays out. But let's take a look also at the last remaining winless teams and the odds that they're probably going to stay winless the longest. The Panthers at a plus 165 price. The Giants at a plus 340. The Broncos 6-1. Rams, Jaguars, Titans, Colts, Ravens, and Bengals. Now, granted, it is funny to see, like, hey, could the last remaining team winless be the Baltimore Ravens or the Cincinnati Bengals? We don't think that's going to happen, and they're priced appropriately down at the end. But the Panthers, Giants, and Broncos, and the Rams now, certainly fighting for the top spot in the wrong direction here, Dubsy.
And look, I loved this market prior to kick off for the Panthers at plus 600, now plus 165. That's far too short for me. And look, always be wary of the salty veteran getting a start at quarterback. The red rifle, maybe that's enough for the Panthers to turn things around. I think the price on this board, it's not going to be the Jags. It could be the Rams there, Donnie, at plus 700. They may have to sell the farm and go towards panic stations. I don't think they're going to get it done against San Francisco coming up for week three. I think it only gets tougher. And if they were to get struck down with another injury at a key position, watch out for the Rams. They are going to be well and truly up against it there, Donnie. So that's the price play for me. Plus 700 for the Rams. Cannot believe I'm saying this, Donnie, to be the last remaining winless team.
It wasn't too long ago we watched them winning the Super Bowl here as one of the best teams in football. And again, sometimes it's not your fault. When you get injured and injured this early, as I always like to say, Dubsy, it's not Madden football. You just don't turn the injuries off. They're probably going to get even more injured, which is crazy. You just hope the next injury isn't to their starting quarterback, Matthew Stafford. Let's keep talking about football, this time college football. National championship odds. Is it Ohio State? Is it Georgia? Come back next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College football rolling along with professional football. We're going to take a look at just a few moments here. The national championship odds of who is going to win the national championship. Now, a lot of big games are still to be played, a lot of the season to go, and an exciting first time 12-team playoff. But Dubsy, I want to take a look at the rankings here that came out this week here for the AP, specifically in the top 10, which is as follows from 10 down. Penn State, Oregon, Miami, Missouri, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas. If we look at the top three teams, Texas, Georgia, and Ohio State, we'll start there here. Votes, 5 for Ohio State, 23 for Georgia, 35 for Texas. So let me ask you this question. In your mind, is Texas, with the 35 first place votes, your choice also to be the team that you would select right now to be number one overall in college football?
Yeah, absolutely. They've looked fantastic. And look, for Georgia, they lose a lot of stock, only just getting past Kentucky there last week. Ohio State, they've looked very strong. Obviously, they're off the bye week. But for Texas, you know, Quinn Ewers leaves that game on Saturday, and you're thinking, well, this could be a bit of a backward step. Arch Manning comes into the mix, and didn't he absolutely wow the sports world there on Saturday afternoon? So suddenly, with the best quarterback in the nation coming into the mix there, they really don't lose a step. So for Texas, they have been fantastic. You take a look at who they've gone against. They've done everything they've needed to. You know, they've picked up the style points whilst putting up plenty of offense at the same time there. So Texas, number one team in the nation for me, whether it's going to be Quinn Ewers or Arch Manning as your starting quarterback. I think if Quinn Ewers is back to full health, they're likely going to go with him. And I know we've seen a lot of movement in the Heisman conversation there as well. So Texas have been the standouts for mine. Ohio State really haven't done anything wrong. The only stock that I'm sort of throwing out the window right now is Georgia. They're certainly going to have to show us a bit of a bounce back.
Yeah, so the reason I wanted to start with the top three teams all getting AP votes, because you would figure sometimes those numbers in the rankings equate to the betting markets here, what we have at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But we just told you, Texas right now, number one overall in the country with 35 first place votes here. But if you look at the odds market, Dubsy, Texas is actually third in line behind Ohio State, Georgia. So Texas, the third leading team here in the odds market, makes it interesting because why? The expectations from the bettors and the handicapping world is they're not the best team, even though they're number one right now. As we said, there's so much of the season still left to go in the 12-team playoff to watch it play out. But you know what is nice, Dubsy? Like, as you called out, Texas's quarterback position here. What a great problem to have. Quinn Ewers, who could win the Heisman. You take a look at also, you know, flipping over to the other side, Arch Manning, who could win the Heisman. You can afford extra time now for Quinn Ewers to be that number one guy, but be healthy because Arch Manning has looked tremendous in coming in relief for Quinn Ewers. You take a look at Georgia. We know they're stacked. It's always a tough SEC, but the one thing we expected probably a little bit more out of that offense from Georgia, which we didn't see against Kentucky, a phenomenal defensive effort. Ohio State's schedule is going to get tougher, and then we see the old guard there, right? Alabama. Here comes the SEC, right? Alabama, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Missouri. But also, number 8, the Miami Hurricanes here, 3-0 on the season. Have they really played great competition considering what we feel Florida? Not necessarily, but they are pounding their opponents here. And we look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, them coming in at an 18-1 price. And as we know, to get into the college football playoff, in the ACC, if you win it, Dubsy, you get the automatic seed and berth in that playoff. It looks like Miami, they're going to be a playoff team this year, the way they've shown up early in the season.
Yeah, and we're also seeing, I guess, the knock-on effect of star quarterback Cam Ward. I mean, what a showing he's put up here through the first few weeks. He's thrown for over 300 yards in each of those games. He's already got 11 touchdowns just with the one interception. So, you know, we highlighted style points count for a lot in college football. Well, they're certainly picking up plenty of those. You look at the track meets that they're coming off. It was 62 points last out. It was 56 prior to that. So the Hurricanes, the Canes, they're doing it at a very, very high rate. They're going against South Florida this week, so it's probably not going to change. They continue to pick up a bit of momentum, but it's only going to help the chances of Cam Ward, now the shortest price in the Heisman market, just continuing to stuff the box with those stats.
Yeah, we'll get to the Heisman markets in the next segment here. And also, Cam Ward has been nothing short of sensational so far here for the Miami Hurricanes, coming over in the transfer portal, getting paid some money, and certainly performing on the field. Ole Miss is always a lightning rod type team here, Dubsy, and rightfully so. As they sit there as a top five team, you look at the odds market, 12-1 to win the national championship. There's one thing we know about Lane Kiffin. If he has you pressed down, he's going to continue to hit that gas pedal. Game number one versus Furman, 76-0. Game number two, Middle Tennessee State, 52-3. Game number three, an ACC opponent. They won that game 40-6 easily. You know who's on deck next for them here? It's Georgia Southern. They should roll. Then they take on Kentucky and South Carolina before the anticipation of their first-ranked opponent in the SEC on the road against LSU, which probably will be a night game in Death Valley. Are we going to see those numbers at 12-1 drop much less? Because they should roll the next couple weeks, in my eyes here, really setting up a showdown with LSU.
Yeah, for me, Donnie, I think the test, it's not going to be this weekend, but it will be next week, taking on Kentucky. Kentucky can be a very tough out. We saw what they did to Georgia over the weekend. They want to get you into that arm wrestle, keep it a low score. So that's truly going to be the test. For mine, I'd be buying in prior to that spot if you're bullish on the Rebels, because if they can get, you know, an emphatic victory over the Wildcats, they're certainly going to shorten up there in the market. But right now, Ole Miss, the Rebels, they've looked very, very strong. And for them, their schedule only gets tougher. So the next 2-3 weeks, this is going to be the true measuring stick for Ole Miss to see where they're truly at. So if you like their chances, if you like what you've seen, I would say probably now's the time to buy. It shortens up after a monster performance this weekend. I think they're laying 35.5. They'll likely cover that, but it's the following week going against Kentucky, which is the one I've got eyes pointed towards.
Yeah, it should be fun to watch it play out. But also quickly, the Michigan Wolverines certainly in the news, changing quarterbacks for this week, and I do agree with it. Alex Orji would get the start, but there's a reason why he came into camp this year and was not the starter. Obviously didn't think he measured up. They squeaked by, for me, Fresno State, even though it was a 20-point win, pounded by Texas here, Dubsy. Squeak by again, Arkansas State, 28-18. They take on USC this week, two top-ranked opponents here, going 10-10. That should be one to watch out for. But the college football season, as we've stated, a long way to go. A lot of changes will be made. But also, you can afford one loss here this year, and maybe in some instances, two losses with the 12-team college football playoff. It's fantastic. More games, more teams, more meaningful football late in the season. We love to see it. Let's also focus on who's going to carry that Heisman Trophy odds and hype for the respective football teams next, right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Heisman Trophy moments. We're going to get a lot of those this season in college football. And quite frankly, some players already have been having some Heisman Trophy moments. But if we are looking here, Dubs, at the race here to win the Heisman, or at least the odds at the FanDuel Sportsbook, look at the leader in the clubhouse. It's Cam Ward of the Miami Hurricanes. Now, granted, he did show up against Florida opening day, rivalry game between Miami and Florida, easily dispatching of that football team. He's been great over the first three games. Now, have they played a high level of competition where you say, hey, he's got to go on the road and beat Alabama? No, not necessarily. But you can only play the opponents that are in front of you. Miami's looked great, and Cam Ward is a big reason why. Jalen Milroe, you saw him in another big performance on the road, crushing Wisconsin. He stays up at the top there at a 6-1 price, followed by Dylan Dart and Gabriel, 6-1 and 9-1 respectively here. So let's start with the top of the standing so far. Cam Ward at a plus 450 price. Are we in agreement right now that, yes, he should be the leader in the clubhouse in the odds race at the FanDuel Sportsbook?
Look, he's put up the most impressive stats, but in terms of, you know, the biggest challenges in going against the big threats, you know, in the national landscape, I don't think we've seen that from Cam Ward. So I think that number's a little too short for mine. What he has done is make every start a complete winner there, over 300 yards in the first three games there, over 11 tutties. He's had the one interception. So it's been efficient play for Cam Ward at that kind of number. I think it's a little too short for mine. There's a couple of other big standouts there. Look, this is probably the spot where you could look towards the likes of Emilia Moss at 18-1. He's trending in the right direction for USC. Ultimately, their biggest challenge of the year comes this Saturday in Ann Arbor. So if he puts up another big performance, that number's certainly going to shorten up. Carson Beck, he's underwhelmed there at 14-1. And Dylan Gabriel, you know, for the Ducks, quack, quack. He's done everything that's been asked of him, but I was expecting a bit more coming in at the start of the year. So for Oregon, they're going to get things going in the right direction. What we have seen in the Heisman market is off the back of what we saw in Austin, you know, for Texas and the Longhorns. It's now Quinn Ewers, who was one of the short price favorites last week, leaving that game, replaced by Arch Manning. This is not a bad spot to get Quinn Ewers at 20-1. If you're the starting quarterback for the Texas Longhorns, they're going to be contenders for the national championship. I do believe he will be the starting quarterback. If it's not this week, he comes right back into the mix, and at full health, he certainly looks to be an absolute superstar. I know Arch Manning, he's not a bad backup or replacement to have waiting in the wings there, but he will get his time to shine. This is the time to take that price there for Quinn Ewers if he can get back in the mix here for the Longhorns.
By the way, it usually is a quarterback, you know, award. And just about in every sport, the MVP in the NFL, it's typically a quarterback award. You look at that list there, but at the bottom, at 20-1, which is tied with Howard Ewers, that's Jeanty, the running back here from Boise State, has put up some incredible numbers. So I understand that he doesn't play at a Power 5 school at this point, right? Do we feel that it is optimistic that in 2 to 3 weeks, he can climb that leaderboard here in the odds market? Or is it just too much to overcome? He plays for Boise, and he's not a quarterback.
Look, if he continues to put up the numbers that we've seen through the first couple of weeks, 459 rushing yards, nine touchdowns, not in three games, in two games alone. He's very shifty. He's dynamic and get around and be a big, big problem for opposing defenses. So absolutely, Donnie, look, style points, you know, matter for a lot of these teams in the polls and the rankings. It also matters in the Heisman conversation. If he can continue to put that offense on his back and be that bell cow and continue to stuff the stat sheet at an almighty rate, I mean, he is going to set records going through this regular season. So Jeanty at 20-1. A running back hasn't won the Heisman since, what, 2015? Derrick Henry? This could be the next one.
In a while. By the way, and also take a look at Jackson Dart there for Ole Miss. I always find this interesting because it is part sometimes of the culture for your coach to give you sort of a little bit of a push here in the Heisman race. And we're seeing that. The reason I say that is 418 yards versus Furman in a 76-0 win. Probably didn't have to throw for that many yards in that game, right? But he did. 377 versus Middle Tennessee State. 377 again against Wake Forest. So now that Jackson Dart is hot, I feel like once you start to enter into conference play, can he keep those same numbers up? And how long is he going to play in those blowout football games, which might not be blowouts anymore? But if there's one coach that you know, it's Lane Kiffin that's got your back here, Dubs.
Yeah, and look, he's going to have to turn things around, get the numbers pointing in the right direction. Wins, well, a win's a win, but we certainly need to see a bit more of that wow factor, if you know what I'm saying there. So no surprises, Cam Ward up top. Jackson Dart's going to have to do a little more. And don't sleep on Jalen Milroe and Bama. The Crimson Tide, if they continue to roll, that stock is only going to climb.
And let's just see where we end up with Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning. You can never go wrong. Heck, put them both out there at the same time here. How about that? Can that happen? One at tailback, one at quarterback. You throw up between the two. Big plays down there for Sarkisian. Hour number three is next. Fading the public. Let's find out what the public thinks of our poll today. We'll be right back.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.